97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Listen up, just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Where did you find that version? My goodness.
This is our next guest doing this version. It's not Waylon.
Awesome. Yeah, it's not. I knew it wasn't Waylon.
It is John Schneider.
Man, you produced. You do produce, Carl. I'm impressed.
I love the music.
This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors alongside Mark Cox. That's Carl Middleman. Hello. I'm Bo Matthews. Welcome to the program. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. We talk guns on this show. And this particular show, we're going to talk a lot about guns. But we encourage you to stop by Razorback Armory. They are a gun concierge. So you want something specialized, go to RazorbackArmory.com. The map is there. But I will tell you, it's in DePere, just off 270 on Manchester, a mile east. You'll find him. Jesse Brad will take good care of you at Razorback Armory.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this show because Bo is giddy like a schoolgirl, if I'm allowed to say that still. Because we're having Bo Duke on, right? Your namesake.
John Schneider, man. I've been a huge fan, and he actually put a movie out called Stand On It. And Mark, I will tell you, of all the ads you've ever seen on social media that fly by on your wall, I see the trailer for Stand On It, which is a tribute, I would say, to Smokey the Bandit and Dukes of Hazzard. They do a lot of the exact same scenes, John as the Bandit.
Okay.
It was the only time I've seen an ad one time and purchased right then.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, I'm in!
Advertising works.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one did, but I'm a huge fan of Smokey the Bandit. It's in my ether, but anyway.
So we have to tell the story about the website for John Schneider. So we're going to give you the website a little later, but here's the thing. He's coming to
Springfield, Missouri,
for a concert and a car race, and he actually races the cars, apparently. And you can go down, you can buy tickets, you can get VIP tickets, all this stuff. But you have to go to his website to do it. And I don't know if we'll give him any grief about this or not, but
Bo sent it to us.
Bo'sExtravaganza.com is the name of the website. Bo'sExtravaganza.com. Now, if you write it out, there's an apostrophe in there. Bo'S, extravaganza.com.
That's not how a website works.
But if you type it in a URL, it's Bo'Sex Travaganza.com. So when they sent this to me, I'm like, well, this can't be right, because why would I go to a website that says sex extravaganza? That's dangerous at work.
Yeah.
Right. So I took the S out of it and just put Bo'Extravaganza.com, which doesn't work.
Because I sent that to you just like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Then I resent it with extravaganza with an M. I was all screwed up.
That didn't
up.
Work either.
No. But yeah.
But go to Bo'Sextravaganza and you'll find all of
it. Yeah, Bo's Extravaganza. You just have to say it the right way.
Okay, so you're a huge... Is Sammy Hagar like your favorite of all time?
No.
Oh, who
no,
is?
No, but I mean, of active artists, yeah, absolutely. Van Halen, a big Van Halen fan. Love Led Zeppelin, The Who. All these are my favorite bands. And but in terms of going to live concerts, I've been a Sammy Hagar fan for years and years because few artists bring it the way Sammy does for 2 hours on stage. I really enjoy his showmanship.
The reason I bring it up is because I looked at the event for John Schneider, Bo's Sextravaganza in Springfield, and the guy is smart. He's an actor, singer, blah, blah, blah. But he has these packages where you can go and hang out with him, do a meet and greet. Does, like a Sammy Hagar, have they understood?
They do.
That is a monetizing situation.
You have to be a member of the fan club.
You can buy the VIP packages. And, well, I mean, for Hagar, they probably started $700-$900. I mean, they're expensive.
Yeah.
But you got, and sometimes if you go down to Cabo when he has his birthday party, that is...
He's there this week?
Yeah.
It hasn't been that many years since that revenue stream was created because, you know, it was always giving away backstage passes and stuff. I think it's genius. I actually told, remember the Judds?
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah.
I actually told them that many, many, many years ago. I was like, you got an opportunity. Everybody wants to meet you. And it didn't really catch on until the last 5 or 6 years, I don't think.
Yeah, but there were some mental issues there, weren't there?
With the Judds? Well, I don't know.
Winona?
They just didn't want to make any money.
I'm just kidding.
No. Anyway, you know, on a serious note, I want to say thank you to the Backstoppers. For stepping up immediately in the horrible shooting that happened with the Pontoon Beach Police Department, Tyler Timmons. It broke my heart. I was so mad that it happened like this, and I wonder, will there be a protest in honor of our law enforcement, the law enforcement that put the uniform on every day, that wear the shield every day, that go out and take care of us goofy humans? And this tragic situation happened. It broke my heart.
And the other thing that broke my heart is that the punishment will not fit the crime.
No.
Because it happened in the state of Illinois, they will not even consider the death penalty in this case, which is a shame. Mm. In my opinion, if there's any case in the world that the person who did it does not deserve three hots and a cot for the rest of their life, it's when you take the life of a member of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And in this case, this guy, they've arrested him, they've charged him, I assume they'll convict him, and he'll get to go to prison for the rest of his life, which is a shame.
Well, again, to bring it positive, my prayers are out for the Timmons family, because he had a family. It's just a sad, horrible situation. But again, thank you to law enforcement, and thank you to Backstoppers for being behind them.
Well said. Well, we do everything we can to support Backstoppers around here. Hey, hang around. We're about to have a good old time with one of the original good old boys, Bo Duke. I love it. I've loved that show for years and years. I watched, I think, all of the sequels to it through the years when they made the movies.
Or the remakes.
The remakes, yeah. We get to talk to Bo Duke in just a few minutes. It's going to be fantastic.
And he's also on Hallmark Channel, Christmas movies, which our wives like. And he was on Smallville for five years.
Huge, yeah. No,
and then he was on Tyler Perry's Have and Have Nots for 8 years.
Guy's keeping himself alive.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Kiss me.
Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. It's Bo and Mark. Carl.
Pew, pew. So, this was his big, this was a top 20 hit.
For our guest. Well, I thought I knew everything about John Schneider, otherwise known as Bo Duke, for many years, and other people, too. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio, John Schneider.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's not often I get to talk to Bo.
Okay. There is a story. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Chuck's Boots. Oh. If you are looking for great boots, Bo Duke or anybody else, Chuck's Boots in Fenton and St. Peter's, massive stores, no supply chain issues there. They've got over 100,000 pairs of boots and family owned as well. Thank you, Chuck's Boots, for sponsoring Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Schneider.
Remember, any great pair of boots starts with the letters B-O.
Oh, whoa. A tear came to my eye.
I know, I can see that. He's loving this, John. Thank
okay.
you.
So,
you're welcome. I'm so glad to be on your show. I'm so glad to be on this show.
We have so much to talk about. Yes, it is true. So my nickname growing up since I was a baby was Butch. I get into radio and I'm thinking, Butch just does not sound like a radio name. So I actually changed it because of Bo Duke. So, and everybody says, is it B-E-A-U or is it B-O or B-O-W? I'm like, no, it's B-O, like Bo Duke. And here's, this is where it's going to get weird, John.
Uh-oh.
Okay, all right.
My wife's nickname is Daisy. People know us as Bo and Daisy.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's weird.
I think that's just great. I think it's great.
It's a tip of the hat to you.
It's a tip of the hat. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for thank you for supporting and protecting the Second Amendment. We have a Second Amendment party at our house, at our studio in Louisiana, on New Year's Day. And this will be our second one. But last year was our first annual Second Amendment party.
That's outstanding. So I know we'll get invited next year, but what is it that you do at the Second Amendment party?
Well, we have many highly trained weapons experts. We put up a target, and in at the count of three, right at high noon, we all fire one shot for freedom.
Nice.
Beautiful.
So
yeah, you don't want to waste that ammo.
So probably 20. No, you don't want to waste your ammo today for sure. But we fire one shot for freedom because we can and because we're trained. We are not crazy. There is no alcohol consumption before that, but after we all fire our one shot for freedom, then we may have a beer or two.
Nice.
But it's an exercise in one of our most important rights here in this country, and we plan on doing it as long as I can breathe. Sure. We're going to continue doing that.
That's fantastic. So I have to ask, John, what is your weapon of choice for your single shot that day?
Well, I have what's called a credit card gun. I mean, I have a bunch of guns, as many Second Amendment folks do.
Yes.
But in my pocket right now, I have this little credit card gun that is a wonderful deterrent should someone ask me for my wallet in the middle of New Orleans. Because it looks like, for all intents and purposes, looks like I'm pulling my wallet out of my pocket.
Absolutely.
But guess what? You then have a choice to either continue asking me for what is rightfully mine or give up what is no longer rightfully yours.
I have seen that. I have seen that gun, and I have not purchased one yet. I have a North American Arms revolver. It holds 5 shots, and it's teeny tiny. I've burnt my fingers several times near the cylinder because your finger is longer than the actual barrel.
Wow.
And so they actually, somebody made a modified handle on it, and now it folds up like a switchblade, and I call that my better-than-nothing gun.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, my bride, we have some wonderful friends in Louisiana. They have a great Facebook page called Southern Boys Outdoors, and that's where I got my credit card gun, and that's where she got her gun, exactly like the one you're talking about. We use that in our upcoming movie Poker Run.
Nice.
Because the guy says, when you have it in your pocket, it looks like a knife. And he says, what are you going to do with that itty bitty knife? And she says, it's not a knife, it's a gun. And he says, oh, what are you going to do with that itty bitty gun? And she fires it, and a canoe falls out of the ceiling of a bar and knocks this joker out. It's pretty funny.
So is it the switchblade version?
I'm sorry?
Is it the switchblade version where it unfolds and actually the handle on it is much bigger than the original one that it comes with?
Yes.
Yeah. We have the same one. Wow. Another weird coincidence.
Look at that. Look at that.
Okay.
And I tell you, when we did that in the in our movie, in closed quarters, we use CGI. So if you want to go there, we never, ever fire anything, not even a quarter load blank. We don't fire anything from weapons in any of the movies that my wife and I have done. We've done 12 in the last 7 years.
Wow.
We have guns everywhere, but we would never, ever fire so much as a quarter load blank on a set with people because there's no point. There's just no point anymore. There's no reason to. You can spend $22.75 and get a wonderful set of muzzle flashes for your Adobe Premiere program. Anything from a 22 to a 50 caliber you can get for very little money, and never put anyone in harm's way.
That's interesting, John, that you bring that up, because what you're talking about is physically having the weapon but not firing the weapon, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
You dry fire it, which drives some people crazy. I know a lot of gun enthusiasts don't like their weapons dry fired, but I don't know anyone that likes to be in any sort of danger. So I did an interview on Newsmax the other morning, and I quickly ran into we were at a hotel in Nashville, and I quickly ran and did this silly little video where I'm but I'm shooting my finger.
Yeah, okay, I saw that video. It was fantastic.
Thank you. So I've got the muzzle flash, I've got the smoke, I've got the dirty, hairy 44 Magnum sound, and you hear a body drop off camera. And, you know, at no time was anyone or my finger in any danger in so doing. So
that was a powerful video concerning what we've all learned about the Alec Baldwin thing with the movie Rust. The video with the finger thing, because people have actually been on Facebook and been canceled on Facebook for just showing their hand in the shape of a gun, like we did as kids. But your video was epic. I'll have to get that up for Mark to check out.
Well, it's educational, at least, and it does ask the question, you know, if this is the world in which we live. And I did that in about 4 minutes.
Wow.
You know, so on a $6 million movie, you'd have somebody that would do a much better job. But I was trying to prove a point and educate a rather uneducated population with regard to set safety.
Sure.
And so that's what I did. And you're right. It hadn't even occurred to me that normally they take things down like that, but they've left it up. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. I think it's even on Instagram. Because it begs a very important question. Why in the hell would you be firing even blanks on a set in this day and age with our technology?
Yeah, yeah.
How could you be so inept?
Yeah.
You know, only someone who is against the Second Amendment would be so stupid as to keep live rounds anywhere near a weapon on a movie set.
I would agree. And, you know, I pointed out this morning on my radio show here in St. Louis, John, I pointed out the fact that anybody who's trained properly in handling weapons, if your friend is going to show you his gun and you watch him pop the magazine out and you watch him clear the chamber and he hands it to you, everybody I know who's properly trained does the exact same thing themselves. They open it, they look, they make sure a second time that it doesn't have a live round in it. That's basic gun safety. If I would guess though, if you've been an anti-Second Amendment person like Alec Baldwin your whole life, you've never been taught those things.
Well, but he's been in a lot of movies, and nobody on a set cares what he thinks.
Yeah.
Nobody on a set cares what I think. There is protocol that is never, never violated. It's certainly never ignored, and it never changes. I've been on sets with guns since, you know, the bad guys had guns on Dukes of Hazzard. So I've been on sets with guns for 42 years, and there is a set protocol that has gotten more complicated, however, more safe as the days have gone on, or the years have gone on. And this is something that is never violated. It's required. I was thinking about this morning. It is required by the Screen Actors Guild. It's required by the Directors Guild. It's required. I can't remember what union the prop master or the
armorer.
Not gun, all the armorer, what union they're part of. But this is required. This is not suggested.
Yeah.
And just like when you go on a cruise ship, you cannot skip that really boring life vest drill that they do. You can't skip that.
Oh, it's the worst. So
you cannot skip the gun safety meeting. And you have it at the beginning of any day where firearms are on the set. And again, I say never are there live rounds on the set. And then you have it after lunch, and then you have a truncated version of it. Anytime any weapon comes off that cart, everyone is paying attention. You don't do it in a void. You go over and say, "I'm getting the weapon. I'm removed," and it's oral, which is also important.
Right.
Removing the weapon from the cart, and I'm checking it. You know, and if anyone would like to check it, this is also important. Anyone on that set, whether there's 10 people or 1,000. Anyone or any number of them that want to personally clear that weapon, they may do so as well, because everyone is potentially in danger if you have a live weapon. You know, if somebody's made a tragic mistake out of total ineptness.
Yeah, especially as you pointed out, John, since the technology is there, why do it? Actually, Mark, I'm going to show you the video. I just found it. We'll have audio as well from the video. Okay. In the basement. Stay right there. Mark, can you see that from there?
I can.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
Watch this. This is why you don't need even to have blanks on a set anymore.
That's right.
In the world, I've been shot with blanks from about 20 feet. And there's no reason to have blanks on the set.
That's amazing. I mean, you can't tell, except that clearly your finger doesn't do that.
Right.
I hope.
No, my finger does not do that. There's a whole lot of questions there. And what we must do is we must make this something that actually is in favor of the Second Amendment and in favor of training, and not allow those who are against the Second Amendment to use this as a tool.
Right.
To, I mean, they're going to come against us no matter what.
Right.
But we are smarter than that, and we can't allow them to be successful with that. What shocks me right now is that no one has come out and said, I made a horrific mistake. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. No one has claimed responsibility for this.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, everyone who touched that weapon are responsible for it. I don't believe the responsibility should be divvied up. I think they're all responsible. The gunner or the armorer is responsible. The second or first AD, pardon me, is responsible, and Alec is responsible.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know what? I may not be a fan of Alec Baldwin, but you know he's had a great career. But I will say this: I had major empathy when I saw the picture of him bent over, because he must have been horrified that happened. Obviously, you know, this is a out of left field question for you, John. In any role that you've ever played, have you ever died in a role?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Other than I did watch the very last few minutes of Dukes of Hazzard on YouTube just last night. I come across it. Everybody's coming together because you guys landed in the pond.
Right.
But yeah, you didn't die.
I don't know why I don't know why they called that the last episode. That was the ghost of General Lee. I wrote and directed the last episode. It was called Opening Night at the Boar's Nest. But I think I had one of the best deaths, if there is such a thing, but as Jonathan Kent on Smallville.
I was about to say
that. There you go.
It makes me cry when I watch it.
They went on for five more years, but it didn't matter.
I came back to close it at the end and give Clark his super suit, which was pretty great. I enjoyed doing Smallville. But yeah, I've died on a bunch of movies. It's fun, and like I said on that video, I have been shot with a blank from a long distance. So there's a misconception that blanks aren't dangerous, and if you go way back to an actor model dude named John Eric Hexum, back in the 80s, he was on a set and operated on. Conception that blanks aren't dangerous, and shot himself in front of the crew in the head and died. Self-inflicted stupidity.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I used after that, because I had a ranch in the mountains outside of Los Angeles. I've never been a fan of Los Angeles. But when we would have kids from the inner city up there, I would take them, and I'd tell the person who was with them, I'd say, look, there are guns here. I have guns. And I would bring the kids over to an area, put water in a milk bottle, and say, you need to see what a blank will do, because I don't want you to operate under the misconception that blanks aren't dangerous.
Yeah.
And I took full load and shot with a single action Colt, very similar to the one that that I believe Alec was using, from about 2 feet, and you just the plastic water bottle full of water just vaporizes when you shoot it from
Absolutely.
2 feet away.
That's crazy.
Wow. So, you know, it's not guns don't load themselves, and guns don't pull their own trigger. It's people that do that.
Yeah, my co-host here, Mark, has the greatest line I've ever heard in my life, that if we can blame a gun for a killing, we're going to blame the fork for me being fat.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
I did not call him fat. I just want to make that clear.
Well, John, well, you know, oh, go ahead.
It's water's fault when you drown.
Yeah.
It is.
One final mystery here is that Alec also wrote this screenplay with the director.
Right.
So if you're against the Second Amendment, why are you writing movies that include gunplay?
Yeah.
I would never write or be in a movie that showed abortion fight.
I was just going to say the same thing. Wow.
It's just not going to happen. Now, I'm not going to keep you from doing it. I don't like those kinds of movies. But I don't have the right to stop you from doing it. But I do have the right not to participate.
Yep, it's a great point.
Another, I think, question worthy of pondering for.
You got to stand for something. Okay, so the reason we were able to get John Schneider on is because Bo's Extravaganza is coming to Springfield Raceway in Springfield, Missouri, November 6th. Tickets are still available. There'll be a concert. There'll be a race. Dirt track races. I didn't even realize they were still racing this late in the season, or did you just get that shoehorned in?
Oh, no. They're racing this late.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Racing. And we race. We're not just, my wife and I both race dirt track. We've done it now year and a half. So it's a lot of fun. And folks, if you want to come out and chat like we're chatting now, there's VIP tickets available. And what that does is that puts you in the kind of inner circle ahead of time and then throughout the day. And if you want to talk about the Second Amendment, you want to talk about Dukes or Smallville or whatever you want to talk about, then we just kind of hang out.
Oh, nice.
So that's great. We have my band is coming, the Stars and Bars band, just to aggravate my liberal friends, whatever ones of those are left. I do have the 01, the General Lee, and the Rebel flag on the top of my race car. So come on out. It's a great, great time. Dirt track is so much fun.
Yeah, we're big around here on dirt track. John,
best band you're going to hear live. I don't care who you've seen. My band kicks butt.
Okay, Mark's a big Sammy Hagar fan. I don't know. You've raised the bar there, buddy.
We got him beat. Absolutely.
Wow. That's putting it out there. John Schneider, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, sir.
Thank you, my friends. I will see you down the road. Stay
free.
Yes, you
will. Yes, sir. Great, great getting him on it. Boy, isn't that fantastic? BosExtravaganza.com is how you get to the website.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Welcome back in here along with Bo and Carl. And
Smallville was not the same after he left.
No.
Jonathan, when he played, John Schneider playing Jonathan Kent was fantastic. He was on for the first 5 years, and then after that, they went on for five more years without him. It was not the same.
You know,
what a great guy.
I'm just a huge fan, and he really is a good actor.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Dukes of Hazzards, but he's done some serious movies, Christmas movies.
He's done
I've seen
Hallmark
him in
movies. My wife's like, oh, tell him we want him in another Hallmark movie. And my wife and I were listening. He has 6 number one country songs.
I played them all. In my career, I played them all. Absolutely.
Country Girl.
Yeah.
And he's got a replica of the General Lee with the flags on the top of it.
It's
which
not
they
the Confederate
banned,
flag.
Right?
It's the battle flag of Virginia. It's the
right?
naval flag.
Oh, okay.
So it was never the Confederate flag.
I agree.
The naval flag.
School us, man.
Yeah.
School us.
People get that wrong all the time. That's not
good
what
stuff.
It was.
You know, so it's interesting because we had a chance to get the perspective there of John Schneider, who has been in Hollywood forever, and he's been on a lot of these movie sets, and he's clearly got some opinions on what their protocols need to be and how they might have been violated in this particular case. For me, this issue gets back to basic gun safety. And if you follow basic gun safety, you're not going to encounter the kind of problem that they had on that set. Our friend Phil Balsamo joining us right now from the Range St. Louis West. He is the training manager out there. And Phil, we appreciate you giving us some time.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much.
How have you been?
I've been fantastic.
Outstanding. You understand we were talking a little bit about this Alec Baldwin situation this morning, and I kind of made the point that everybody I know who practices safe handgun handling always checks the weapon to make sure it's clear before you hand it to someone.
100%.
What do you go through at the range? Because you teach, I know a big percentage of the people you've sold guns to the past year and a half, many of them have been brand new gun owners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we always teach that any time that you lose physical control of a gun or you are obtaining physical control of a gun, that you need to check it to make sure it's in the condition you expect it to be in. Now, maybe that's loaded, maybe it's unloaded, whatever it is. Obviously, in our case, most of that time we're handing somebody from behind the counter. Well, we're always handing somebody from behind the counter an unloaded gun, but we're visually and physically checking it, and then we're handing it off to somebody so they can visually and physically check it every time.
This
now,
is an area.
If I'm shooting on a range, I could absolutely hand you, I could check something on your gun and hand you a loaded gun. But again, I'm giving that expectation. Hey, this gun's loaded. You can physically and visually check that gun to make sure it's loaded before you do whatever you're going to do with it.
Yeah, sure. I've been at the range too. And while, you know, a friend of mine is shooting, you know, weapon A, I'm loading weapon B so we can get more out of the time that we're in there. And so that's a different scenario. But sure. Any other time in the world, you always have to assume that it's loaded. I mean, there's no doubt. I have a dear friend in Mayfield, Kentucky, who their son was, they were breaking down and putting a 22 together rapidly. It was a pistol. And nobody knows how it happened, but a shell was in there for some reason. Ended up, he was like, hey, Mom, his last text to his mom, hey, Mom, I just did it in 18 seconds. The breakdown and put it back together just that quick, boom, killed himself. By accident.
Oh, wow.
And wow.
Yeah, and that's just an absolute tragedy.
It is. It is. But again, the gun does not fire itself.
100%. Yeah. Now, I will say that I run into people all the time that are gun experts, right? That you can tell them one thing, hey, this is loaded or it's unloaded or whatever, and hand it to them, and they will check it, and they don't know what they're looking at. They just want to play the part that I know what I'm doing. Right. So we come up with that kind of stuff a lot where, hey, this gun expert, and we're just going to use Alec as an example here. And trust me, I am not a fan of his by any stretch. But if he thinks he knows what he is doing and doesn't, maybe he visually checked it and said, OK, yeah, those are blanks. And it wasn't a blank.
Right.
I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't there. But I know for certain that I've talked to people that are experts in a thing that truly aren't, just because they've done it once or twice.
Yeah,
definitely doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
No, that's a great point, and I one that I appreciate you making as somebody who teaches this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I will add that when we talked to John Schneider, we just talked to Bo Duke, man. But still fangirling over here, sorry.
Absolutely.
But he was talking about the compression that comes out of a gun, even with a blank. And I remember It was like a haunted feature place a couple of years ago, maybe several years ago, up in the Wentzville, Lincoln County area, where an actor at a haunted thing, there was a shotgun involved with blanks, but he like damaged his arm or lost his forearm because the gun was right up against his skin
when it went off,
although no projectile, but the compression of that black powder. And
yeah,
so it's as John said on our previous segment, there is no reason at all to have live ammo on a movie set at all. It just isn't. Technology is there.
Yeah. Now and so again, just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, I've never been on a movie set. I have no idea how, you know, what their safety protocols are and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely, in modern technology, you can CGI guns and flashes and all that kind of stuff to make it look like fake guns are real guns if you have the budget. And again, my understanding is that this was a low budget thing, and that CGI stuff is super expensive. Should they have had live rounds being mixed with dummy rounds? Absolutely not. I mean, there's all sorts of failures to point to here that unfortunately somebody lost their life in the process of.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, unqualified people doing stuff, and it's a calamity of errors, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, Schneider mentioned to us a few minutes ago that he's a producer himself, produced a bunch of films, and he put a video up on YouTube showing... Great Outdoors, welcome back in here along with Bo and Carl. And
Smallville was not the same after he left.
No.
John Schneider playing Jonathan Kent was fantastic. He was on for the first 5 years, and then after that, they went on for five more years without him. It was not the same.
You know,
what a great guy.
I'm just a huge fan, and he really is a good actor. You know, everybody knows the Dukes of Hazzard, but... he's done some serious movies, Christmas movies.
He's done Hallmark movies. My wife's like, oh, tell him we want him in another Hallmark movie. And my wife and I were listening. He has 6 number one country songs.
I played them all. In my career, I played them all. Absolutely.
Country Girl.
Yeah.
And he's got a replica of the General Lee with the flag still on the top of it.
It's
which
not
they
the Confederate
banned,
flag.
Right?
It's the battle flag of Virginia. It's the naval flag.
Oh, okay.
So it was never the Confederate flag.
I agree.
The naval flag.
School us, man.
Yeah.
School us.
People get that wrong all the time. That's not
good
what
stuff.
It was.
You know, so it's interesting because we had a chance to get the perspective there of John Schneider, who has been in Hollywood forever, and he's been on a lot of these movie sets, and he's clearly got some opinions on what their protocols need to be and how they might have been violated in this particular case. For me, this issue gets back to basic gun safety. And if you follow basic gun safety, you're not going to encounter the kind of problem that they had on that set. Our friend Phil Balsamo joining us right now from the Range St. Louis West. He is the training manager out there. And Phil, we appreciate you giving us some time.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much.
How have you been?
I've been fantastic.
Outstanding. You understand we're talking a little bit about this Alec Baldwin situation this morning, and you know I kind of made the point that everybody I know who practices safe handgun handling always checks the weapon to make sure it's clear before you hand it to someone.
100%.
What do you go through at the range? Because you teach, I mean, I know a big percentage of the people you've sold guns to the past year and a half, many of them have been brand new gun owners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we always teach that if you, any time that you lose physical control of a gun or you are obtaining physical control of a gun, that you need to check it to make sure it's in the condition you expect it to be in. Now, maybe that's loaded, maybe it's unloaded, whatever it is. Obviously, in our case, most of that time we're handing somebody from behind the counter. Well, we're always handing somebody from behind the counter an unloaded gun, but we're visually and physically checking it, and then we're handing it off to somebody so they can visually and physically check it every time.
This
now,
is an area.
If I'm shooting on a range, I could absolutely hand you, I could check something on your gun and hand you a loaded gun, but again, I'm giving that expectation, hey, this gun's loaded. You can physically and visually check that gun to make sure it's loaded before you do whatever you're going to do with it.
Yeah, sure. I've been at the range, too. And while, you know, a friend of mine is shooting, you know, weapon A, I'm loading weapon B so we can get more out of the time that we're in there. And so that's a different scenario. But
sure.
Any other time in the world, you always have to assume that it's loaded. I mean, there's no doubt. I have a dear friend in Mayfield, Kentucky, who their son was, they were breaking down and putting a 22 together rapidly. It was a pistol. And nobody knows how it happened, but a shell was in there for some reason. Ended up, he was like, hey, Mom, his last text was Mom. Hey, Mom, I just did it in 18 seconds. The breakdown and put it back together just that quick. Boom, killed himself.
Mm.
By accident.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow. Yeah, and that's just an absolute tragedy.
It is. It is. But again, the gun does not fire itself.
100%. Yeah. Now, I will say that I run into people all the time that are gun experts, right? That you can tell them one thing, hey, this is loaded or it's unloaded or whatever, and hand it to them, and they will check it, and they don't know what they're looking at. They just want to play the part that I know what I'm doing. Right. So we come up with that kind of stuff a lot where, hey, this gun expert, and we're just going to use Alec as an example here. And trust me, I am not a fan of his by any stretch. But if he thinks he knows what he is doing and doesn't, maybe he visually checked it and said, OK, yeah, those are blanks. And it wasn't a blank.
Right.
I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't there. But I know for certain that I've talked to people that are experts in a thing that truly aren't, just because they've done it once or twice.
Yeah,
definitely doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
No, that's a great point, and I one that I appreciate you making as somebody who teaches this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I will add that when we talked to John Schneider, we just talked to Bo Duke, man. But still fangirling over here. Sorry.
Absolutely.
But he was talking about the compression that comes out of a gun, even with a blank. And I remember it was like a haunted feature place a couple of years ago, maybe several years ago, up in the Wentzville, Lincoln County area, where an actor at a haunted thing, there was a shotgun involved with blanks, but he like damaged his arm or lost his forearm because the gun was right up against his skin
when it went off,
although no projectile, but the compression of that black powder. And so it's and as John said on our previous segment, there is no reason at all to have live ammo on a movie set at all. It just isn't. Technology is there.
Now and so again, just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, I've never been on a movie set. I have no idea how, you know, what their safety protocols are and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely, in modern technology, you can CGI guns and flashes and all that kind of stuff to make it look like fake guns are real guns if you have the budget. And again, my understanding is that this was a low budget thing, and that CGI stuff is super expensive. Should they have had live rounds being mixed with dummy rounds? Absolutely not. I mean, there's all sorts of failures to point to here that unfortunately somebody lost their life in the process of. And there's, you know, unqualified people doing stuff, and it's a calamity of errors, unfortunately.
You know, Schneider mentioned to us a few minutes ago that he's a producer himself, produced a bunch of films, and he put a video up on YouTube showing how you do that, how you CGI. You just used his finger like you in the shape of a gun and turned a corner and aimed it, and he added those CGI effects afterwards. And he claims that the software he used to do that was a couple, maybe $2,000.
Oh, no, $28.
The software
either
is
which way
that much,
in a movie,
but to make it look
that's relatively
good,
inexpensive.
Yeah, it would cost several thousand, I'm sure, or more to get that.
But you can edit around that too.
Yeah,
I mean, Snapchat videos where, you know, you're looking at something and you can put your finger on it and it demolishes a building, or you know what I mean. Yeah. It's just crazy. You can't believe everything you see.
They brought back Princess Leia, right, Carl? Sure. I mean, they can do amazing things with CGI,
which is really expensive.
Really expensive. So what about? Let me ask that, Phil. What's your experience with blanks? Do you have much experience with them?
Oh yeah, I've used them. I mean, not a ton, but I've definitely used them a fair amount. You know, in semi-automatic pistols, they don't really do much. They make a bang and a pop. They won't cycle a firearm because the firearm needs the pressure to actually cycle the gun. In a revolver, obviously you can shoot all 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 shots, however many that specific revolver holds. And yes, they definitely throw out some pressure. If there's something between the end of the barrel and that blank, it's going to shoot it out of the barrel, right? Okay. If that makes sense.
I've got a question. Do you sell, or have you ever seen where you buy starter pistols? I don't think those even have the...
We do not sell starter pistols here. Those have a barred barrel, so they don't even have the ability to shoot a projectile, and they use... pretty much only a primer. There's a little bit of powder in their cartridge too, but it just makes a pop.
Yeah, right?
It's not a traditional blank. Yeah. It's not a traditional blank.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they, you know, I'm looking at what they've done here. John said that he said there's some dispute about dry firing, but you guys make dummy rounds that you can put in a gun for dry firing purposes, don't you?
Oh yeah, you can 100% dry fire a modern pistol. Now, some of their in this particular case, the style of pistols they were using, probably not dry fire one repeatedly without damaging the gun.
Okay.
But in modern handguns, you can 100% dry fire, and they absolutely make dummy rounds to save the hammer. The problem is the hammer's making direct contact with the frame of the pistol, and you can break some parts on the gun if there's not that cartridge buffer for the hammer to run into.
Well, I know, Mark, you're a world traveler. You haul your RV around everywhere you go. Have you been to, like, Tucson, well, Arizona or New Mexico? Have you been out that way?
I have not.
Oh, you got to go. South. Yeah. I will say, this is what I think happened in the Alec Baldwin situation with the movie Rust. Of course, they have Old Tucson, which is they do the stunts and all that stuff. It's an attraction people go to. The desert is so vast that they bring everything, the catering, the water, the generators, the electric. They bring a village out there.
They're not going back to a hotel.
Right, exactly. That's my point. So they bring all the trailers and all this stuff for the movie. I believe that they bring things to pass the time, whether it's write a book or go out and shoot, you know, target shooting. So that is the only reason I would think that they had live ammunition on a movie set, because it was so far out in the distance. Still should have been safe. Still should have had those protocols in place. And it seems like there was a breakdown to that horrendously. But I do believe that they went out to film remotely, and it was that far away. No Motel 6 nearby.
Yeah. And I would agree with that too. You know, even if, and if that's the case, and obviously they, I mean, we in the firearms world, we have, now we don't specifically do this at the range, but we do force on force training where we shoot real guns at each other, but that are set up to shoot simunition, right? Fake chalk-filled rounds that hurt a lot. But when you've got those guns, it's a real gun that you change the barrel out in so that it can only fire simunitions. You can't put real ammo in it. It is still possible for people to get guns mixed up and me have my real gun on me when I think I have my simunition gun on me. That's why there are a lot of safety protocols. There are dedicated range officers that make sure that the gun you have on your person is set up for simunition only. You have no other firearms hidden in your sock or in your back pocket, right? So that these kind of accidents can't, or have a much less likelihood of happening.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're talking to Phil Balsamo, who's the training manager out at the range, St. Louis West. And, you know, Phil, maybe while we've got you on here, just take an opportunity to give people an idea of the range of training classes you have out there.
Oh man, we've got a vast range of stuff. Anything from the very basic beginner level stuff, a basic pistol class or a CCW class, up through defensive handgun training and shotgun and rifle training. I mean, we've got anything. If you've got kids that you want to get trained up in some basic firearm safety, we can do that. Or nice. If you want to learn how to do backflips and shoot guns, we can. Well, no, we're not going to do backflips, but we'll get close to there. We'll get close to that.
So we can. You should do training at Jump Zone. You know, the trampoline. Places, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Phil,
that would be devastating to me.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, my back,
my knees.
That's what we're thinking about. So therangestl.com out there at 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin. Phil, thank you.
You are most welcome. Thank you very much for the conversation. I appreciate it.
Yes, good sir. Start. Thank you for giving us some time today. It's good stuff. So got to hear from an actor today who's been on the scene and knows what those protocols should be, and a firearms instructor on some of the problems that you have out there.
That's so outstanding.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Good show today.
Good stuff.
I've enjoyed it. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's true.
Yeah.
Wow. So much snuck up on us, didn't it?
Be all jacked up. I'll be so tired Monday because I won't be able to sleep for all the Snickers I eat because nobody comes to my house.
Nope, that's true. That's the truth. All right. Thanks for joining us this week for the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you next weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.